Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM. Channel 141, this is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Some 9 months after the pandemic shut down, millions of Americans are still struggling with unemployment and all of the things that come with that. And here in D.C., no job means rents aren't getting paid. That's also putting landlords in a bind. There has been millions of dollars in aid available in the district for months. It's still available now, but it won't be for long. If you are a landlord or a renter, how much is available? What's the process? And what other help might be available for D.C. residents looking for financial support in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic? Joining me to answer those questions and yours is John Falcicchio, D.C. Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development. Our lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you are looking for rent help, if you are a landlord who's having difficulty paying the mortgage on a building that is full of renters, this is your conversation. And we're going to try to answer as many questions as we possibly can. This process may be a bit complex, and that's why we have the deputy mayor on. So again, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Mr. Falcicchio, Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. As I said, we have you on because, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic has already made day-to-day life very difficult, complex for a lot of people out there who are struggling. So, you know, I'll ask you definitely take your time and walk us through whatever you need to walk us through so that people really get an understanding of what's happening. We do know that for several months, the district has had funds available to help renters and landlords. Unfortunately, that news, that information has kind of taken, you know, a bit of a backseat with all of the other things that are going on right now in 2020. Give me an idea of why the mayor brought this up again last week.
Absolutely. And it really is important what you mentioned. We know how stressed people are in this time. It is a stressful time for us as we try to manage the response to the pandemic. But we also want to look ahead at the recovery. And we know that in order to get our residents best situated for the recovery, we need them to start looking at the rent that is due and how we can help them pay that rent. So we've had, as you alluded to, some programs that have been open, one of which is the COVID-19 Housing Assistance Program. For short, we call that CHAP. And that uses some funding from the federal government, from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. It is a $6.2 million fund where we try to get rental assistance to renters who are making between $55,000 to $86,000 as a ceiling. So if you're a single person and you make $55,000 or below, you qualify for this program in order to get rental assistance. What we've seen is, though we have $6.2 million available in that program, only about $500,000 has been dispersed, even though this program has been open for a couple of months. And that's why Mayor Bowser asked us to make a pivot in order to help landlords or housing providers as well. And so we opened up a program last week for housing providers. We actually did it on the first of the month, December 1st, where we have two different programs for housing providers. We have a $9 million fund for housing providers in income-restricted affordable housing. So those projects that have been helped by our Department of Housing and Community Development or the D.C. Housing Finance Agency. And those 274 properties around the District of Columbia represent 30,000 units of housing, and that's for that $9 million fund. We also have a $1 million fund run by our Department of Housing and Community Development, and that's for our small housing providers, those who have anywhere between 1 and 20 units of housing. And for those programs in the housing stabilization grants, as we call them, the housing provider applies directly. What Mayor Bowser told us was that it is hard for an individual renter to navigate the programs that we have in this stressful time. And so by providing grants to housing providers, we could actually make an entire building whole on their rent. And so that's the approach that we're taking with the housing stabilization grant.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking tonight about rental assistance and assistance for landlords who are having some challenges, to put it lightly, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown in the District of Columbia. So if you are a renter or if you are a landlord and if you are in a financial bind as a result of the shutdown, you may very well be eligible for what we're talking about tonight. Again, I'm going to take as many phone calls as I possibly can tonight and give you as much information as possible, because this is a really important thing for D.C. residents. Let's go to Sterling, calling from D.C. Sterling, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Sterling, can you hear me? Sterling, give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michael, calling from O Street. Michael, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for hearing me.
Yes, sir.
I'm in dire straits myself. I've been without a job because of disability since the beginning of the year, so I'm in a little financial strain. And you said this is for renters as well as the actual homeowners?
Yeah, for renters as well as landlords.
Right, okay.
Yes, sir.
That's what I meant. Okay. I need the particulars of the program so I could try to apply.
Okay. So what do you say, Mr. Falcicchio, about, for people such as Michael, how do you do you need rental assistance, Michael, or are you a landlord?
No, I need rental assistance.
Okay, rental assistance. So kind of give us the rental 101 on this program, Mr. Falcicchio.
Absolutely. And Michael, thanks for calling in. And also, I want you to know that you're not alone. There are residents across the district who are feeling that same strain that you are. And I'm glad you called in, and I'm glad you're looking to figure out ways to find support. If you're able to get on the internet, you can go to coronavirus.dc.gov/rent. So if you go to coronavirus.dc.gov/rent, that's where we list all of the programs that we talked about. Now, if you want to call and you think you qualify for the COVID Housing Assistance Program, I've got a couple different phone numbers. I'll share them throughout the program. But the first one I'll share is for one of our partners who will help you process this. It's the Housing Counseling Services. They can be reached at 202-667-7339.
Repeat that again, please.
Providers. So that's Housing Counseling Services. It's 202-667-7339. Give them a call tomorrow. Tell them a little bit about your circumstance, and they'll be able to help walk you through the different programs that we have.
Okay. You said that's coronavirus.dc. Okay. .gov.
.gov. And then you could look for the page that says rent. There's a page that says rent.
So, and of course, all of this information for our listeners, we're going to be posting this on the WHUR page, our online page, after 8:30 tonight. So all of the phone numbers, the website, and other information will be posted that we're sharing. So if you're driving and you're listening, don't worry about it. You'll find it all on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. Good luck to you, Michael. Thank you so very much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rudy, calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling, Rudy. What's on your mind?
That the gentleman just talked to you about. Basically, I was looking to try to find some rental assistance because I rent an apartment for my reverend, and he's an elderly man, and I normally want to pay my rent on time, which I was before this here virus hit, But I don't want this man to lose his building because I can't pay him his rent on time.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Falcicchio, when we are talking about assistance, walk me through this process. So if I pull it up online, if I go to coronavirus.dc.gov, /rent, and I, you know, what do I have to do to make this happen? You know, particularly if I've, you know, lost my job as a result of the shutdown. Renting in DC is extremely expensive. How much would I be eligible for? Would this be 1 month, 2 months, 3 months? How does that work?
And so, Rudy, thanks for your call, and Harold, thanks for expounding upon his question. One of the things that is helpful is if you look to the coronavirus.dc.gov/rent page, it'll list all the programs, but it also lists some of our partners, some of our community-based organizations that will help walk folks like Michael and Rudy through the process in order to find out what program works best for them. So I don't want an individual renter to think that they're on their own. If you look at the resources, and I'm glad, Harold, that you'll be able to list them on your website as well, if you look at the resources and the partners that we've assembled, they'll be able to walk you through what assistance is available for you. Now, Rudy raises a good point about how he wants to pay the rent, but he isn't able to at this time, and he doesn't want his housing provider to be penalized for that. We know that the housing provider has a mortgage to pay, that they have maintenance costs, that they have upkeep costs. And so for that housing provider, there's also this resource. Rudy, I'm not sure if the Reverend owns more than that one property, but if, say, they own that property, they can actually qualify for the housing stabilization grant. The good thing about the housing stabilization grant is if the Reverend were able to apply, he can apply for all the rent or any fees, all the rent that was due during the time between April 1st and November 30th. And so you may want to even talk to the Reverend about whether he's willing to apply for that resource that's available to him. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we don't have a case where a housing provider and a renter applies and they both get the funding. We'll make sure that doesn't happen. But what we need you to do, Rudy, is check out coronavirus.dc.gov/rent, and we'll connect you with one of the housing providers, one of the community-based organizations who can walk you through the process for you to get the assistance that you need.
Okay. Now, the other question I had for you is this. When the coronavirus first hit, we had a lot of people that did get rental assistance from D.C. government one time. Does that exclude them from getting additional assistance?
Well, what I hope you'll do is you'll connect with one of our community-based partners to find out about your situation in particular. I will say that there is a program that is well-known in D.C. It's the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. That's one that we had before the pandemic. Before this all started, we had that program. What we've actually done is we've changed it. You used to only be able to apply once in a 12-month period, and now you're able to do that twice. So we want folks to come forward and tell us what help they need, and we'll try to find the program that's right for you.
Thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Okay. Rudy, hang in there. Thank you so much. A great question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're getting a lot of phone calls, and I want people to continue to call in. But real quick, Mr. Falcicchio, because we've got a lot of alphabet soup here when we're talking about, DC, programs. And again, as I mentioned, we're going to make sure all of this stuff is posted on our website. But again, slowly, what is the website again for those who are, wanting to check it out right now?
Absolutely. So if you go to coronavirus.dc.gov/rent, that is where you can find all the information that we're talking about. It's also where you can find our community-based organizations that are helping us administer these programs. One of those programs is, one of those organizations, I should say, is one that I know a lot of your listeners are familiar with, and that's the Greater Washington Urban League. If you have a question, if you can't get through to Housing Counseling Services, you could also try the Greater Washington Urban League, and I'll give you a phone number for them. It's 202-524-8175. The reason why I want to give these numbers out is because I know sometimes even navigating the website can be a little bit much. But I want folks to walk away with a resource tonight. So if you're hearing my voice and you need assistance, one of the places you can call is the Greater Washington Urban League. It's 202-524-8175.
Also, Housing Counseling Services, 202-667-7339. Again, for our listeners out there, don't scramble for a sheet of paper right now. It's going to be posted on our website, all of this information, Urban League phone number, Housing Counseling Services, coronavirus.dc.gov/rent. It'll all be on our website after 8:30 tonight on WHUR.com. We still have phone calls coming through, and we're going to talk to you all. Linda calling from D.C. Don't hang up. We're going to be talking to you. Angela also calling in from D.C. We're going to be talking to you, answering your question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We, of course, will be taking your questions all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is coming up on WHUR with John Mons. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about financial support for landlords and renters in D.C. who really need it because of the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown. My guest is John Falcicchio. He is the D.C. Deputy Director for Planning and Economic Development. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I still have lots of questions for you too, Mr. Deputy Mayor, but I want to make sure that our listeners have a chance to get their specific questions answered if possible. Linda, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Linda. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have commercial property. I have a tenant that owns a restaurant and has not been able to pay the rent. I am calling to find out if this program applies to commercial landlords as well.
That's such a great question, Deputy Mayor.
Great. Thank you, Linda, for that question, and appreciate that one because it gives me an opportunity to talk about another program that Mayor Bowser has launched, and that is the Bridge Fund. So as you might remember, back in the summer, the Council of the District of Columbia, under the leadership of Chairman of the Business Committee, Kenny McDuffie, passed a $100 million piece of legislation to fund business relief. With that legislation, Mayor Bowser has started what we call the Bridge Fund. The Bridge Fund is that $100 million initiative to provide support to the industries that have been impacted the most, and that's the hospitality industry, the hotel, restaurants, retail, and entertainment. And so just today, we launched the restaurant program. That's a $35 million program where we'll give grants from $10,000 to $50,000 to restaurants and food establishments operating in the district. It's a competitive grant, but what I want you to do, Linda, is urge your tenant, the restaurant in your building, to go to coronavirus.dc.gov /bridge fund. And if you look for the information about the Bridge Fund, they can apply there. What we're going to allow those restaurants to do, those that do receive a grant, they can use it for rent. They can use it to keep employees working. And what we're going to do is tomorrow, we're actually going to have a town hall that we'll host at 4 p.m. to talk to restaurateurs about this program and all the issues and questions and suggestions they have around that.
When you say it's a competitive grant, what does that mean specifically?
Absolutely. So we have had different grants and throughout the course of this pandemic. And in some of them, we actually made an award to everyone who applied. And so our micro grant program, we actually were able to stretch the resource that we were able to make a grant award and a disbursement to all the folks who were applied and were eligible. For this program, for the Bridge Fund, we're actually making it competitive so that we can really invest strategically where we need to. One of the things that came out of the council legislation that I mentioned was introduced by council member Kenny McDuffie was that we have a certain amount that will serve as a floor, not a ceiling, but a floor for businesses that are owned by women and people of color. So at least 15% of that $35 million must go to businesses of color or owned by women.
I see. Okay, Linda, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about assistance for landlords and renters in D.C., the help that the D.C. government has come up with over the past several months and is trying to get the word out before some of this money disappears. Talk to me, Deputy Mayor, about why some of this money will disappear at the end of the year.
Absolutely. So we are working to disperse CARES Act funding that the District of Columbia received. As you may recall, when the CARES Act was passed by the Congress and later signed by the President, the District of Columbia received $490 million in direct support for responding to and recovering from the pandemic. Now, that is a lot of money, and it's been very helpful throughout the response and the to the pandemic. However, we were treated as a territory, and we should have been treated like a state. So for every other part of the emergency response, the District of Columbia is treated as a state. And if we were treated as a state in the CARES Act, it would have meant that we got an allocation of $1.25 billion. So the District of Columbia was shortchanged $750 million. It's something that we call on Congress to correct when it passes compromise or any further stimulus. And we hope that going forward, the District of Columbia will be treated as a state. So going back to the $490 million that we did receive, that resource needs to be spent by the end of this year. And so for some of these programs that we're talking about tonight, we're actually using that funding, the CARES Act funding, for these programs. And so the Housing Stabilization Grants is one example of a program, a $10 million program, that's funded from that $490 million. And we hope to have that all dispersed by the end of the year. In fact, Mayor Bowser has told us there's no reason we shouldn't and has required us to do so. And so for the housing stabilization grants, if you are a housing provider, we really need to act this week. This week, we're going to be closing out the housing stabilization grant application, and we'll close that out on Friday, December 11th. So housing providers need you to step up and go to our coronavirus.dc.gov/rent site and find out how you can apply.
You mentioned something that kind of caught my attention. You said that landlords can apply for assistance in order to make the, I believe your choice of words was to make the renters whole. Or something similar to that. What specifically does that mean? So if I own a building and there are 20 units there and everyone may have lost their jobs and they're struggling with this, if I apply and I get assistance, does that help me there? What do I, so I can take that money that I receive and pay the mortgage on the property that I own, correct?
Yes, you can. And so what we're doing is for the housing stabilization grants is we are asking the housing provider to tell us, like you said, you have 20 units, everybody has been impacted, and for some portion or some, or maybe the whole part of this year have been unemployed and haven't been able to pay. Now, there are some folks who've been able to pay partially too, I'm sure, mm-hmm. in that building of 20 units. So what we do is we look at the rent rolls from the housing provider. The housing provider tells us, this is how much is owed to me in rent that wasn't paid between April 1st and November 30th. We take that number, and if they fill out all the paperwork right and they are eligible, then what we'll do is we will provide them with 80% of that total amount of rent that is due to them that is delinquent over the course of that period. What we ask of them is to forgive the other 20% and any late fees.
And so
what we've done is we've taken this limited resource, this $10 million, and we've actually leveraged it so that both we put in dollars, but the housing provider is asked to waive 20% of the rent that is due. And what we also ask them to do, actually what we require the housing provider to do, is to literally update their rent rolls so that the renters are seen as current for that period between April 1st and November 30th. Therefore, they can use the money to pay their mortgage. They can use their money for maintenance. They could use the money for other operating expenses. But what we require in order for them to take this grant is that they make the rent rolls whole for that time period.
So now we get down into the weeds of this, because I can understand, you know, as a person who has, although not in quite some time, but has rented in the past, I can't really remember having a whole lot of contact with my landlord. You know, you send the check and you keep it moving. So if I decide as a renter to do this, and my landlord is also doing this, but I have no communication with my landlord, do these things conflict?
Right.
Innocently conflict. I'm trying to pay my landlord. My landlord's trying to keep the building. And there are 19 other people in the building who are trying to do the same thing. Is that going to be an issue if everybody, unbeknownst to everyone else, decides to just apply at the same time?
Absolutely. So definitely understand that scenario could happen. However, I'll say that, as an example, one of our programs that the renter applies for, the housing assistance program, that's been open for several months. It's a $6 million program. Only $500,000 has been dispersed.
Right.
Now, I mention that because renters, I think, have a tougher time navigating these programs. And they also, like some of our callers talked about, Michael and Rudy, they're looking for their next opportunity. They're looking for a way to make income again. And so we want them to focus on that. And so what we'll do is we'll work with the housing provider that if they apply for the grant and they're awarded a grant, but in the meantime, their renter pays back some of the rent, whether it's through one of our programs or if Michael or Rudy found a resource to pay for some of their rent that was due, we'll work with the housing provider to make sure that they're not overpaid, as it were. And so the renters, I don't want any renter to hesitate tonight. If they need assistance, they should check out the website. They can call some of the community-based organizations that we talked about. There isn't any burden on them to worry about how that gets deconflicted. So I want to make sure that folks know that these programs are here. We're here to help. These programs are here to help. And we'll make sure that everything on the back end that we have to work on with the housing provider will be taken care of.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Another caller on the line calling from D.C. Caller, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. It's a combination, a little bit of like what the person said with rent from their pastor. There's a person who I'm renting from who has a property. It's kind of asking, I think it was said earlier that if the landlord receives something that me as a tenant would not be able to. The situation is that the landlord put somebody out. Supposedly, I just moved into the place last week. There's a lot of things that are unfinished and need to get done because they got stiffed. So, I mean, I guess I would encourage them to try to apply for a housing stabilization grant. But with rapid rehousing, and I've had a problem with stable housing for quite a while, I've been trying to work with some DC programs, I'm able to pay month to month, but still it's kind of challenging because of the pandemic, you know, and getting conventional housing has been a challenge. So I guess I'm just trying to see about what I can apply for, because with some of these programs, I was promised money, but I still kind of had to make my way. So, I mean, I want to, will I be forfeited? And can the landlord apply? Because it's not really my back rent. It's the person who they had to put out, which I came in. And right now I have a half finished apartment.
That, yeah, that's a really complex situation. But from what I, and let me see if I can understand. So you moved in. Someone was evicted before you, so you have two issues. You're having an issue about not only paying rent, but there are some other issues about repairs, I guess, for your...
Well, it's really repairs. I'm praying month to month that I should be able to cover it now, but basically, like I said, I mean, I was doing a sublet before I moved into a particular property, and I mean, like, you know, once everything comes into 2021... I'm not sure how long I'll be able to kind of carry it. I'm expecting to be able to carry it, but I mean, I'm an entrepreneur and you kind of know how this market is right now. So I'm trying to see what I'd be able to apply. I've had some small grants, which I've applied for and other things with what I've done, but still, I mean, it's still kind of an unstable income. So I'm trying to see if I'd be able to apply.
Well, so let's, Deputy Mayor Falchicchio, let's deal with the rent piece first. Please go right ahead.
Yeah, so I think, Harold, this one's a little bit complicated because it sounds like there's a sublease as well.
Mm-hmm.
What we might want to do is for this caller, and I'm sorry I didn't catch the name.
He did not give his name, but please go ahead.
Okay, yeah, if he does want to off-air, leave his contact information, I could definitely have someone follow up because it sounds like this is a very complicated situation. But you can work with the housing provider, especially if the housing provider is a small housing provider. They could apply for the housing stabilization grant. And for those folks who have a rent that is due between from April 1 to November 30, that housing provider could apply. But it sounds like that might be a little bit more complicated from that. So if he wants to leave his information, we can be sure to have somebody follow up with him. The other thing that I'd like to point out, too, was earlier today, one of the things that the mayor was able to do, again, with the CARES Act funding that we got from Congress, was take about between really $25 million of it and give it to D.C. residents through the form of a local stimulus payment. This will be limited to those individuals, D.C. residents, who were at some point during this year avail themselves of pandemic unemployment assistance. Pandemic unemployment assistance is a brand new form of unemployment. It's for what we traditionally call gig workers, self-employed individuals who wouldn't traditionally be able to apply for regular unemployment. However, this new program was created by the Congress and the District of Columbia implemented it. If there are any listeners who are D.C. residents who did receive pandemic unemployment or applied for it before November 30th, what Mayor Bowser has done is worked with our Department of Employment Services to ensure that they will get a $1,200 stimulus payment. So it sounded like your caller said that he is an entrepreneur. He might actually have been what we, like I said, call a gig worker. And if he had received pandemic unemployment assistance sometime this year, and then he would be eligible for this $1,200 payment, and our Department of Employment Services will update his online portal so that he could see if he's eligible to receive that.
And if he's eligible, he doesn't have to do anything, right?
Correct. He doesn't have to do anything. The reason why I keep calling it a payment is because it will be a direct deposit into his account, And it would be the account that he was using to receive his unemployment benefit.
I would ask our producer, caller, to get your information, and she can, you know, then pass it on to Deputy Mayor Falchicchio, if that's okay with you. Obviously, you did not want to give your name on air, and we certainly want to respect that. But she can take your information if you're willing to share that with her, and she can pass it on to the Deputy Mayor if that's okay. All righty?
That sounds great, Harold. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. I'll just have our producer do that. You raised a couple of other issues. First of all, Deputy Mayor, I want to thank you for bringing up that PUA issue. I hesitated to ask you about that because, you know, that's not your wheelhouse, obviously. That's D.C., you know, the D.C. Office of Employment Services. But I'm so glad that you mentioned it because, you know, of course, we were reporting on that. And that is a rather big deal. It is a new thing. And so, you know, I certainly, you know, tip my hat for you bringing that, you know, that issue up and help to explain that. The other issue that the caller just mentioned about evicting someone, that remains a sticky wicket, you know, not just here in the district, but everywhere about, you know, the moratorium on evictions. Where is D.C. with that? And if someone is encountering, if a renter is encountering an issue with a landlord who is threatening evictions, what do they do?
Absolutely. So they can call any one of the resources that I already mentioned, and they'll help you guide you through the process to notify our office. The other reason why I wanted to get that caller's information and hopefully help him is because at this point, nobody should be evicted. We have an eviction moratorium in the District of Columbia. It runs concurrently with the public health emergency and actually extends for some time period after the public health emergency ends. So no one should be facing that. Another thing that I'll point out is that the public health emergency currently expires on December 31st. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want anybody to be alarmed because on December 15th, the council will meet again, and most likely they will give the mayor the authority to extend the public health emergency. And with that, they'll also debate different provisions of the enabling legislation, one of which is the eviction moratorium. So if you want to weigh in on that, this is a good time to talk to council members about your viewpoint on what you think the eviction moratorium or other key components of that legislation should entail. And so, like I said, they'll meet again on December 16th, and they'll vote on the public health emergency extension.
And to that point, we have seen this happen several times during the course of the pandemic, unfortunately, as we are seeing the health metrics continue to deteriorate, for lack of a better term. We continue in this surge. As you said, it is very likely that, with no crystal ball here, but very likely that there will be a continuation of some sort and some changes coming up.
Correct. I think that's right. And I think the eviction moratorium would be part of it. And the specific language of it, though, is something that is up to the council mm-hmm. to pass it. And actually, while I'm mentioning the council, I do have to thank Anita Bonds, the at-large council member who chairs the Housing Committee. She has been helpful as we think through all the programs that we've talked about today. She's been a sounding board for us and an advocate for us to do more. And so I got to thank her for her leadership throughout the pandemic as well.
And to that point, I've been wanting to ask you specifically since the beginning of this, because, you know, let's be honest, you have been, you know, really, you know, at the very forefront of trying to come up with these, you know, ideas. We've seen this in this region. Your business development counterparts. Can you talk to me about, you know, just the thought process of creativity? Because honestly, you know, governmental agencies have been kind of making this stuff up as they go along because we haven't seen anything like this before. Kind of walk me through some of the, you know, the thought processes for you as you've, you know, been sitting at your desk and talking with your staff and trying to come up with how do we help people in this completely new, novel, unique kind of atmosphere.
Absolutely. And I think that is the reason why we came up with the housing stabilization grant. So we've talked about the COVID housing assistance program. That program is one that tenants apply for. And with the eviction moratorium in place, with folks looking for ways to really get income flowing again, for all the stresses, too, of just having to go out each day with a mask on and how you commute each day is strained. And so we know how much each individual and each household has to deal with. And that's why, like you said, it was important for us to do a pivot of our own. And so when we were thinking about, well, how do we do rental assistance that will help more people more efficiently, that's why we actually said, let's have the housing providers apply so that they can make their buildings whole. And when we make those buildings whole, we make a community whole as well. And so we've had to make our own pivots, just like business owners have had to, and just like our residents have had to throughout the pandemic.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Brenda calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Brenda. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I wanted to just find out, because I'm a little not really sure about what.
Brenda, you're breaking up. What's your question, please?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. I applied through DC Housing, HEAC, and I didn't, or HERAC, and then for some reason I didn't get a call back. But I did get through with another company that I guess they are connected with them. So they basically had a lot of my information, although I did have to fill out an application online because they have different procedures that they go through. Anyway, I was told that my application was accepted, and right now it's just being updated. But I was told that they only cover three months. Now, my rent is a little bit more than that. It comes to about $4,700. So they were only going to cover 3 months. With this program that you are talking about, will they be able to give a little bit more assistance so that rent, the rest of that rent can be covered? Or should I look for another program to handle the balance of that?
Well, Brenda, it's a really good question, and I understand what you're saying in terms of you've actually gotten an application in and it's been accepted and you're going to get support. So that's exciting, and I'm glad that you've navigated your way through the process. Now, if your housing provider were to apply, they would be able to apply for the remaining amount in that period between April 1st and November 30th. So if your housing provider is eligible and applies, they would be able to receive funding to provide the balance. And Harold, it's kind of the situation where you just laid out, where you might have some instances where the housing provider applies. You might have where some instances where the renter applies, or they both apply. And in Brenda's case, if the housing provider applies as well, what we'll do is we'll look to make the rent rolls updated so that it shows that Brenda has paid her rent for that period between April and November.
What would they apply under, the bridge fund, or just would my landlord apply once I get the money? What can I tell him to apply under dc.covid.gov/bridgefund?
No, so for your housing provider, they actually want to go to the housing stabilization grants, and they could find that at coronavirus.dc.gov/rent. If they go to that page, what we do ask, though, is that they apply this week. That application for the housing stabilization grants is open this week. And what I want you to do is ask your housing provider to go to that site to look to see if they're eligible to apply. And if they apply, will deconflict the benefit that you're going to receive and what they can apply for.
Real quick, before I let Brenda go, say as a renter you apply and everything is accepted, how long does it take for you to receive the funds?
Well, and this is actually another good point. I'm glad you raised it, because what we'll do is we actually pay the funds, even if the renter applies, we pay the funds directly to the housing provider.
I see.
So you should get a notification that you've been deemed eligible and that you will be receiving the benefit. And you should be able to share that with the housing provider. Then it's a matter of us processing that, and it probably takes a few weeks for us to get that payment to the housing provider, but they should have some proof from you that you did receive that benefit.
Okay. Brenda, thank you so much for your phone call. Because of the complexities of this conversation, we certainly could have used at least another 30 minutes. However, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we are going to be posting all of the links, not only the coronavirus.dc.gov/rent, but also for the Bridge Fund, which would be /Bridge Fund. We're going to have Housing Counseling Services phone number on, the Urban League, and information about the PUA as well. D.C. Deputy Mayor John Falchicchio, thank you so much for spending some time with us and helping us move through this complex process. Still some tough times for people, so thank you again for your time.
And we'll come on again and again to share the resource we have, because we know this is a tough time. Thanks again for having me tonight.
I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, December 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.